Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for an overcast Thursday, May 17th. I'm Sanka Price. With me is Dennis Johnson, and we'll be here with you until 1:30 today. Of course, today is voting day for several hundred members of our security forces. And this time next Thursday, Bajans and all those who have qualified to vote will be casting their ballot to elect a new administration to manage our affairs. Whether the DL, the Democratic Labour Party, will be given the mandate for another term, or will be the Barbados Labour Party, the United Progressive Party, or Solutions Barbados, is up to you, voters. But I would encourage you, each and every one of you, to go out there and vote, because that way, at least you'll have a hand in selecting who will be guiding your affairs. Tonight, of course, I think the campaign goes into another phase, because the Democratic Labour Party, they will be launching their manifesto tonight in Oystens. So we'll be in a position to compare and analyze what each of the main parties are offering us. Their DLP's manifesto should give us some chance to say why, we'll give them a chance to say why they should be re-elected. And you know, for the last several weeks, well, for the last 7 days, because the Barbados Labour Party's manifesto was launched last Thursday. So since then, it has been about the Barbados Labour Party's manifesto, why it can work, whether it is a pie in the sky, or whether or not it is innovative. So now we'll hear from the Democratic Labour Party tonight. So we'll have even more to talk about tomorrow. But today, what I would really like to hear from you is your thoughts on how the campaign is going. Are you disappointed at what is happening? Would you like to see more of? Speaking personally, I would really like to see both the manifestos from the major parties. This is the DLP's manifesto and the Barbados Labour Party's manifesto. I would like some of the accounting firms, as they do with the budget, to pool their resources and take a look at the economic proposals from both parties and see how they compare, and see and give what I would think should be a professional, apolitical view to help, you know, at least enlighten Barbadians as to the choices that they're going to make, because it's more than just about bells and whistles, and it's just more than just about threats and promises. It's, you have to think about where we are going, because we can see that the country is in a perilous state. Anyhow, enough of my thoughts. I am sure I'm going to share even more with you as you call us today at 4341790. And of course, you can text us at WhatsApp 266-4862. And we'll go to our first call. Good morning. You are on the air.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today, sir? Yes, sir. It is.
I'm fine. I have a couple questions I want to ask.
I'm not running for any seat, though.
Well,
questions enough flying around this place.
I'm sure you can help me. This is a reference to something that I heard at a political meeting while I was streaming a couple of nights ago from Kingston, from the chairman of the Democratic Labour Party, sorry, the campaign manager. Mm-hmm. Of the Democratic Labour Party, Mr. Bobby Morris. Mm-hmm. So you could help me, please. In what year was it that that David Thompson was planning to be youngest Prime Minister of Barbados? What year was it? Was it 86 or 91?
It would have to be 91.
91?
It would have to be 91, yeah.
Okay. All right. No.
It can't be 91. It's going to be 94. It's 94. Because if you recall, Mr. Sandiford won in 91. And then, you know, the whole thing broke down. And then we went back to the polls in 94.
Okay,
and,
all right.
Mr. Sandiford did not lead the party into the elections. David Thompson did.
Oh, okay. And so it was 94.
94.
All right. I say that to say this, too. That year was the first year I heard Randall Stewart speaking at a political meeting in St. Philip at the compound nowhere, the Shafak and the Air One Supermarket is. And I was very impressed, right? That was the first time I heard him speak. Now, few nights ago on the platform, Kingpin, Mr. Morris said that the problem, he know the problem with Mr. Stewart. He knows what the problem is that they just have with Mr. Stewart. Do you know what the problem Mr. Morris said he had?
No, I didn't hear him.
All right, Mr. Morris said that the problem with Mr. Stewart and the public is that he is black and that he has a broad nose. Now, I would say 99%, and this, I mean, you could go back and look at it because it was streamlined. Now, you could go back, Sankar, I would say 99% of the candidates in this general election are what complexion, Sankar? They're black. Now, if that was the issue that Barbados had with Mr. Stewart, right? In 2013, Mr. Stewart was given a mandate of a 16-14 majority to run this country. He also won the popular vote by about 78,000 votes, about 74,000 votes. So I don't believe that complexion and big nose or broad nose could have had an issue back then. This is the same issue that the same Mr. Stewart brought up in reference to Mr. Sinclair, that the reason why the issue that he has in Barbados is because of the school he went to. But let me say to both Mr. Morris and Mr. Stewart, the problem that I have with Mr. Sinclair and Mr. Stewart is that Mr. Sinclair has been a very poor Minister of Finance and Mr. Stewart has been a very poor Prime Minister of Barbados. I don't care about his color. I don't care about his nose.
All right, sir. Hold on. You've made your point. I don't want nobody stepping on any podium in here on me. What I will say to you, though, and say to all listeners, is this. I hope you all got your nation today, but certainly the nation yesterday. There was a picture. I don't even have a nation now. This is yesterday's, Dennis, not today's. Willie Worm. There was a picture of a red herring, and he was making the point about red herrings being all around at this time. The reality is this. These things are said as part of the political diatribe, quite frankly. You know, I guess politicians think that they need to make certain points because these points resonate with certain people and how some people think. But let's be real. Majority of Barbadians look like Frondell Stewart. So that is, to me, a non-starter. All right. So when people bring that, they're going down a certain line, you know, you can see the red herring. And I mean, if you like red herring, because it tastes good, especially with breadfruit, personally speaking. But so if you like red herring, you listen to it. But see it for what it is. All right. To me, it's a non-issue. The issue for me, and which should be the issue for most people, I think, is how we can fix our economy. Because if we don't start talking about it, start having a really sober discussion on this, as against hurling blame one way or the other, all of us going to end up in duck soup. That's reality. Next call. Good morning. You are on the air. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Price. Not to bother you.
I am well.
I was there looking at some history of what happened at the polls that come over on the station, on the OB station. Well, I find it fascinating that you could have a partisan Andrew Weir, George Perry won, but yet over 2,000 people at the last election did not cast the votes in that part or that consistency. Now, what is amazing to me is that the Barbados Labour Party will be having some large crowds, their meetings and followers, but they do not even represent half of the population who did not even vote at the last election, which is over 90,000 people, or around 40-some-odd% of the eligible voters. Now, the question remains, and I had asked Peter Wickham, the ones in the middle is the ones who is going to determine whether or not they want the Barbados Labour Party or the DLP. I am not so fascinated by the crowds. Because, like, economists told me one time years ago that crowds do not win an election. And he drew the reference to where Mr. Barra had this meeting in town. The whole of Barbados went down there, and what happened? The other thing is some of the programs that the Barbados Labour Party be putting out there. And I'm just beginning to question some of them. The one is about the buses, the sanitation trucks, the roads.
What exactly are you questioning? Be specific with me. Because this is something that a lot of people are keep saying, and I've heard you on this before. Be specific. We'll have a conversation.
First thing, I would like to find out how much there will be paid for one bus so that I can determine out the amount of money it will cost the Barbados government. I know they will get it duty-free, etc., etc. So that's the first thing I would like to know. How do you take for the truck?
Let's be realistic. Those are details that would have to be worked out if they win and get in there to sit down to do a job.
But
then
I would like to have the transport board
and find out. Next question.
You see, you can't come in 2008 and bring these concoctions on the table.
No. Don't go down.
No, I don't tell you.
You cannot. Of course, I'm going to tell you where to go. You cannot come and say that they're a concoction. Okay? It is like the reference to Solutions Barbados. I heard somebody said it was voodoo economics. Hold on.
Yes.
Okay. You can have your opinion. All right.
Of course.
These people, all of them, everybody worked at their proposals. Okay. And everybody has their own opinion. But really and truly, they would have had the statistics and they would have the figures to come to that conclusion. If you do not understand how they got to it, fine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But to call it a concoction. So, therefore, because I know where you're coming from. If the Democratic Labour Party comes with something, do you think it's fair for me or anybody else to say, well, what the DLP is coming with is a concoction?
Because you have to look at the stage.
Excuse me. When Mr. Owen Arthur said back in 1994 during the election that they can create 30,000 jobs, do you remember what was said back then?
Yes.
All right. What happened?
Yes. You know,
what happened?
And the economy was doing
and
that.
What happened? He and delivered.
So
it was a concoction then?
No, but the hospital
was
a total
mess. When Mr. Barrow, okay, talked about what he was going, some things, ideas that he had and he was going to do back in 1966, National Health Scheme and that sort of, people were saying what? You remember? Have you ever read about that?
No, I didn't recall. No, I never read about that.
A lot of licks he got. Hold on, you start this and they can finish it. When Sir Granny Adams talked about building a deep water harbor, okay? Do you have any idea the amount of lashes he got? Okay? It was impossible. It can't happen. I can come further back since you may not remember. In the 1970s, when Mr. Tom Adams was talking about building the highway from the airport down to the St. Lucie. Okay? Do you remember the comments that were made, even from within his own party? Sir, the point I am making to you, okay, is that the only thing in life that one is limited by is one's imagination and the size of one's pocket. All right? That is how it is. Because I have seen in my lifetime, people come with ideas. They seem grandiose. They seem unrealistic. But they make them work. They make them work because they work at it systematically.
Yes.
And I think, sir, that what you people like yourself need to do, okay, is instead of just wearing party blinkers, is to sit down and try to figure it out. When, if you can't figure it out, and you think it's a concoction, fine. But the whole point about it is, I hope you're man enough, if it works, then to come back and say, right now the UPP is talking about an orange economy, all right? Film industry and one, and Amit Tilson, it is generating a level of excitement and a level of interest. And I'm tremendously interested. And I'll tell you my hand, I am very interested in what they're saying. All right.
Yes.
And people, I am not hearing people talk about it. But you know what it is? They don't even understand it. But let me tell you something. You see what they're talking about? What they are talking about can be a realistic future for us. I have been to Nigeria, and I have seen how the film industry there has transformed certain neighborhoods where they do the filming in Ikeja and a few other places. All right? So sir, all I'm saying to you is when you're going to make these statements, do some reading first. All right?
No,
have a good day. We can talk. We got to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Mr. Price, you don't have to agree with the caller, but please let him make his point and take off your red. It is showing. Then this other person says, this gentleman is always so negative. And another person here is saying, thank you for finishing that discussion. We have another one, which I think is we can discuss here. This, a young man is saying, Mr. Price, what happens if there is a 15-15 draw? What would be legally or constitutionally, how would that be legally or constitutionally resolved? I would think that if it's a 15-50 draw, that the Governor General would invite the leader of the Democratic Liberal Party, first and foremost, to try to form a government. And then if he fails, then after some time, then they would ask the Barbados Liberal Party or the other party, assuming it's 15-50 Barbados Liberal Party, DLP, then they would ask the BLP to try to form a government. And if that fails, then you may have to go back to the polls. Anyhow, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
How are you today, sir?
I'm fine.
Are you going to the meetings?
Yeah, the first thing I want to speak about is about the meetings. I appreciate the BLP facilitator or the person who introduced the speakers. Because when he speaks, he draws your interest to appreciate the next speaker. Very disturbed about the DLP person. There's a shouting, there's name calling, and parties need to recognize that they're dealing with a younger generation who toleration level is not as the old stalwart. So when you start calling names and so you, and being in the crowd, because I went about to both parties meeting, and being in the crowd, people are turned off. And they're saying, well, don't go there, don't go there. Why are you going there? Calling people rats and different names. And we need to move on from that. That's one observation. The other thing I want to talk about is I appreciate the person who came on and spoke about the issue with Mr. Motley and the waiver and so forth.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I also want to see, I would like to say, you know, you've been talking about taxes and we are overburdened. I have no problem with taxes because we have a lifestyle. Barbados have a lifestyle that we appreciate and want to keep. The those who can afford it will pay for those who can't. That is something that we have to manage and control. But with taxes, I have no problem with it. What I need to also get people to invite, same people who are talking about taxes, is I look at my tax, I pay road tax, and I average I pay about $2 a day. When you look, how many days in the year, divide by how much money I paid. But what I want to know, because the taxes that is promised on the gas, we don't know what it is, and I'm trying to find out. If there are economists who could work it out as to what tax they think that government is going to put on the gas so that we'll figure, I have a feeling that they're going to collect more revenue from that.
I suspect you're right too. The thing about it is, as you said, we need to get more details, just like the gentleman just now who was making the point, he wants to find out about the price of the bus.
Yeah.
You would have to wait, if assuming that they do win, you'd have to wait, and they would have to wait until they get in there to see what they would do. Obviously,
I have no.
Well, the public of Barbados has to decide that. But the whole thing about from my reading of how this works, okay, no, let's go back to what the BLP is saying. They're saying that they're going to take off the 10% NSRL, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I have to only make assumptions because I really don't know. So if they're going to take off the NSRL, when you are going to, when they're going to put even a dollar, a cent, or 2 cents on the price of gasoline, okay, with the removal of the NSRL, you may end up with the price of gas basically being around the same price. But the amount of money that they would collect would tend to be, I suspect, more than if they were just collecting road tax. And it's much easier. I've read about this is in New Zealand, I think it was. There are other places, but the New Zealand thing, because there was some a little controversy there on other matters related to it. But it is looked at as an efficient way of collecting revenue without being overtly difficult. Well, being difficult for people, being onerous for people, to have to pay. So that's why it's thing. But even before they even tried that, what I would want to hear about is to make sure, like, the licensing, they put measures in place to ensure that the vehicles, there's licensing, so that which is done now, and sort of updated, it's computerized, so that we can have a system where if your birthday is May 18th, for example, I feel that if you have not paid your insurance by May 18th, on the computer, there should be a computer program that comes up flagging that Sanka Price has not paid his license on May 18th, okay? And it's supposed to be renewed on this date. And therefore, the police, it goes directly to the police as well, and they'll be looking out for the car number M000 on the road, you know, because he hasn't paid his licensing fee. It's these sort of things that I think need to be done, you know? So it's just not just talking about tax, as far as I'm concerned. It's a comprehensive thing, you know?
Yeah, but the technology, what you're saying, the technology need to improve and fast.
The technology is there. What I just cannot understand in this country is why is it taking us so long to adapt our services to the new technology? Understand if it's a situation where you don't want to send home people or something like that, but it doesn't have to come to that. People just need to be retrained. Yes. Okay, we need to do things differently, but we just keep talking about these things and not
doing it.
About it.
I'll make one more point before I go. I would have liked to see, and I spoke about this before. I would have liked to see a 0 to 10% on selective food items, and a 15% on all appliances and clothes, and so I would have. I'd rather see that than seeing a 70% right across the board. That's just my point. I'll continue to listen. I like your attitude today.
All right, thanks. But before you go, you know the their Solutions Barbados, they have this 10% concept, which some people have not. But you know, is I don't know if you've read their manifesto, but you should read it. Okay, you really should read it, because they at least have some good ideas as well. You know, we go on to our next caller. This is Brass Stats. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today, man?
I'm remarkable in yourself.
I am well. You went to the meetings. Are you like people streaming?
To get a feedback as to how persons are taking in the meetings and how the varying views that can come out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But tell me something quickly. A quick aside. You can cook. You know, but red herring and got a little like mirrors and get through this red herring talk.
I could cook real good. Okay, and the way to eat red herring, right? The real way to do red herring.
You take out
the center of the breadfruit, you know, the heart of the breadfruit, yes, right center,
yes, yes.
And you stuff the red herring in there, right?
Right.
And then you bake it. I mean, you ain't got to bake no coke on that. You put it in some foil and put them in the oven. That's what you're going to do.
Spice up the red herring, man.
Huh?
You got spice of the red herring.
Everybody don't like the spices. But you can cook the onion and the sweet pepper. But you can't cook, as far as I'm concerned, you cannot cook unless you're cooking with onion and sweet pepper.
Okay,
for me. All right. So
you're
that's a given. Right? And then you...
I give you six dishes to the pot. No, meetings. I'm attending the meetings, and I am having my view and my analysis, mm-hmm. as everyone would know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only got a matter of about a week now before this time, so next Thursday, the elections, the voting will be well on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of votes would mean in by now.
Mm-hmm.
And come Thursday night, you know, we have the Kong and the returning officer making a declaration, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like your, as the gentleman just said, like your attitude and thing. What I've known about you is that you correct person readily. And anytime I get off course, and you've got to correct me, I don't have any quarrel with that, because it can't be always right. But I am strong on my views.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman was talking about constitutional crisis. From back then, I was commending, if you recall, every time somebody come, I would highlight what you've corrected them on, et cetera, you fell there just or whatever. But I like your take with the view of that film industry thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple with that, for going forward, I like the alternative energy effort, because that is another thing that would take a chunk of money out of the high rates and things that we have gotten by our business. That is another. Look, they just built some building there, and if you see the amount of alternative panels and things, and if persons follow suit, you know the amount of money can be saved eventually, mm-hmm. in that regard.
I agree, but
so the film industry is good.
Yeah, but
and you're right when you say that.
But when it comes to the alternative energy, we really have to. I do not think that the way how our taxes go, really is promoting it enough. I think much more can be done. What I'm saying this is that, let's say you want to buy an electric car right now, do you know
right.
the duties on that are higher?
Right, but that needs to be addressed. And make persons gravitate, because if you're going to look in a comparative way, in England and in France, I think it is, they say next by 2050 or 2040 or something, they don't want to see anything of the fossil fuel as mm-hmm. it were dominating, but it would be the alternative energy replacing such. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, because you read a lot.
But you see, the thing is, again, this is where you're talking about we talk, there's some realities in terms of how we're going to approach it. We have Saul as a major partner, and they contribute a lot to the economy in terms of all their businesses. But the whole thing about it is that if we say we're going to promote this as the way to go, we have got to start taking serious measures. And one of the way to take those measures is through legislation, right? It's like whenever I hear Esther Bayer-Sukwu, for example, Dr. Esther Bayer-Sukwu talking.
That's a good one you call it.
And she she talks about the measures, the legislative measures that have been put in place for workers and the Sexual Harassment Act and whatnot. So yeah. Some people have problems with these laws because there's nothing called a good law. There are always flaws here and there. But the point about it is that the recognition is there that if you want to engineer a society to do certain things, you have to put laws in place first and foremost to make these things happen. Okay, we've seen it between that period of 76 to 86, the 85 certainly, during the Tom Adams era, okay? Termination of Pregnancy Act. Termination of pregnancy, abortions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
At a time when the rest of the Caribbean was stuttering, dealing with this issue, Barbados made a decision, we are going to stop backstreet abortions, we are going to protect the women in our country, the poor women in our country who cannot afford to have so many children.
Yeah.
And we made that decision. And that was done. It made a difference. At the same time, but you know, like in 1976, women, if they had a child out of wedlock, and the child was for a married man, for example,
yeah.
that child had no claims whatsoever on that man's estate when he died. I mean, he was, that child was just there. In fact, that child could not even get maintenance. All these things were put in place. I'm not praising because I know that somebody can say praising to be. I am not doing that. What I'm trying to explain is social engineering.
For me,
if you are serious about alternative energy and going forward in that way, we have to put the legislation in place. We have to give the incentives. And we have to keep pushing it. Likewise, if we are serious about recycling and about changing the way how we do garbage disposal, we have to put things in place. And
well, you heard me on that.
No, I didn't hear you on that. But these are things that I feel very strongly about, because we keep talking and talking about these things. But if you don't put the legislation in place, and if you don't police that legislation, then they cannot happen in the way that you want them to happen.
And now I was listening to BBC News, right? I heard of a lady, she's a billionaire. You know how she got her billions? Out of recycling paper over the estates. Getting garbage and recycling and rethinking it. And she's a billionaire.
Uh-huh.
Chinese billionaire. But I'm going to make 2 points here now. One, there is a chunk of money to be made in garbage. And I've been saying this relentlessly, and over time, all that's got to happen is that we've got to sort bottles, this, that, what can go for compost, etc., and start to bring more persons to doing this. But there's a lot of money in recycling. Don't fool yourself. A lot of money. I sometimes cringe when I see garbage, everything all in one, and straight to landfill. We can't do that forever. We've got to stop and start to look at the approach, as you have said, and start sectioning out the garbage. One, two. The oil situation. You see the BNOC and the sale of that. I never got into that. You know,
BNTCL.
Right. You know the oil. Right. You know
oil terminal sale.
You want to know why you never got into that?
Tell me.
Because it would come against all that I am purporting with the alternative energy. Because let me say to you, ultimately, one day those fossil fuel persons gonna go take the oil and just look at it. Because the world has gone forward. Or would have gone forward in respect to the alternative energy, where the sun is going to rise every day and we're going to have that rain. So those people will then realize that they've been using us over the eons, centuries. Now, there's a replacement of the alternative energy, and that is the way to go. So I didn't get into that oil sale. I think I'm glad somebody take it, but eventually it's going to end up a liability on that because nobody don't want it.
All right,
with you. So don't get into that.
All right, sir. Well, you have a great day, and God bless.